Good afternoon, and welcome to the first radio show of the Nutrition and Fitness email class. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Jan.
How fun is this?
It's very fun.
You know, it's now, one of those, it feels like so much has happened since the last time we were together in this forum, and yet now it feels like no time at all passed.
Like, it was just last week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I'll just tell you right off the bat that we already have lots of folks wanting to participate, and I don't know if the blog had, if it was planned that that blog was going to come out right near the beginning of the email class, but to me, those things together have been incredibly powerful. It feels like we just jumped in with both feet, so.
Good. Well, I will tell you, if it was planned, it wasn't by me.
Maybe so, life had a plan.
Yeah, it was just one of those, I see. Oh, I want to write that down. Yeah.
It somehow really just, for me, it's put extra boost or something behind the beginning of the class, and just that intention of, I guess what I watch with it is that every time an email class starts and we really come together in this, I think it's one of the most powerful ways we practice as Sangha, that then conditioning wants to do its ramp-up thing. And to have that encouragement from the blog of, yeah, of course, but where we're headed is where we're going to put our attention instead of on the ramp-up that conditioning does when we practice in this really concentrated way. You were muted.
Pardon me?
You were muted.
I was.
I just realized.
Well, what I said was so fascinating, though.
Shoot. Well, I was going to say it's on the recording.
Well, it's gone now, Jan. I don't know. We'll probably just never be able to get it.
It was going to be the thing that was just going to change everything.
Oh, it's going to make the difference for me, if not for everybody else. So anyway, the thing is, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, has gotten a ton of traction out of the fact that every time we do something, it jumps in, and then all of our attention it goes to it and what it's saying and what it's doing and what it likes and what it doesn't like and what it's threatening with and all of that. And so, you know, those days are over.
Yeah.
Now we're just looking at where we're putting our attention. Where do we want to go?
Yeah.
And it's just relaxing, isn't it?
Oh, it's relaxing and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I'm going to remind folks how to join in. So we're in what's called Q&A mode right now, which means in order to make Gesho, to put your hands up to participate, you can press *6, and then it will prompt you if you want to be added to the queue, you know, to the lineup of folks who we can see who are making Gesho. I think it tells you to press 1. So people can do that now, and that's how I know that you're interested in being on the show. So, unless there's anything else, I'll just start taking our first caller.
Good. All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Jan.
Yeah, thank you. First caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from San Diego.
Hi, Laura.
How you doing?
Good. You? How's it going?
I'm great. I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
Good. What are you seeing?
So what I was noticing in doing the exercise was, one, I just have to say I'm super excited to have nutrition and fitness be included in these conversations. It's one of the things that I was noticing around nutrition was we have two young children. And so from a period of time, I made choices around convenience and ease due to busy life and things like that. And while the foods still kind of fall into the realm of healthy, over time, they're not really. They're the ease and convenience really isn't what's most compassionate or what's best for, you know. And I've had these insights drop in every once in a while, but not really the gumption to follow through or to really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
and kind of it falls right into line with that the exercise. You know, once I had kids, I went from being an incredibly fit person to a person whose fitness was carrying her kids all around all the time.
Thank goodness they weigh more every year, right?
Exactly.
We'd be in real trouble.
Exactly. So I've been, you know, I'm 44 now, and since 40, I've kept saying, this is the year, you know, and it just never has happened. And so I'm really just looking at how really wanting to watch and practice, like finding, reprioritizing movement and you know, I don't really have to be in the best shape of my life like I used to want to be in my 30s, but I want to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the food
and
the
you
used
to be in the best shape of your 40s.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what are you seeing about how that might happen? Have you had some insights?
Well, in the past, I would start up, and it always seemed to be that a kid got sick or like something would happen that seemed to be the thing that got in the way. And then one of the things I'm working on with my coach is that how I don't prioritize myself in what's compassionate for all. Like, I'll be the one who says, no, I'll stay home. No, I'll take the kids to, you know,
right.
You go and I'll stay. And so really seeing how, like, I'm the first to, like, take myself out of the line to, because my husband needs it more than me, you know.
Right. And, of course, The kids need it more than either of you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one that we really do fall for.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a falling for. You know, it used to be, I think, just kind of looking at the history of humanity, that kids were a contribution to a family. You know, in the old days, of course, people had kids because you need somebody to take care of you when you're old and sick, and you need, people to cook and till the fields and all of that. So
mm-hmm.
that's changed, but it's gone to now kids are, in many families, kind of the only priority.
Yes.
As if not meeting one of their needs was going to be the difference between them being happy, healthy human beings and a life of misery. And I have a growing suspicion, as I bet you do, that exactly the opposite is the case. That we're not actually preparing our children to be the people we want them to be. In fact, the opposite.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Because, you know, when they grow up and become parents, they have a couple of choices. But probably what most kids will do is grow up to be what they saw their parents model. So if the deal is self-sacrifice, then they grow up and replicate that. And that's not actually what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do we want them to grow up thinking that they're the center of the universe and everybody should be in service to their slightest need all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
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 And so you have a chance to model that, don't you?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's really become like the forefront of my conversations with my coach in terms of like how that isn't compassionate to all.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Because if it were just not compassionate to you, that fits nicely into the system. Oh, well, you're the one we mm-hmm. sacrifice anyway. But to realize actually everybody, the whole family, pays a mm-hmm. big price for that. In fact, we could say beyond the family pays a price, right? Because
mm-hmm.
If we're not showing up to be the people that we can be, then you know the whole world suffers.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
good.
That's good to see. All good to see.
Yeah, it really is good to see. And I don't know how old your kids are at this point, but, you know, attempting to include them as much as possible in this can be a great gift to them so that they see that parents take care of themselves and they And that everybody in the family gets to share. And one of the things that, a couple of the things that, in fact, that get shared are time and attention and focus and priority, and it, that it can feel as good to be supportive of someone else as to be the support. So for them to learn that they can do whatever it is that they do, however that goes, so that mom gets a chance to have this thing that she needs, this thing that will take care of her, that's a good lesson to learn for all of life.
It's actually been a really powerful thing that's dropped in just around meditation, that I was kind of hiding it and kind of doing it in my own little corner of the house. And in the last, since the virtual meditation started, is, you know, I thought, well, maybe that's not, you know, maybe I could, you know, coming from that background, if I didn't want to cram it down their throats, but I also don't need to hide it. So
exactly.
I've been doing that and asking just for, you know, to be considered around noise, and they've been great.
Yeah. Kids will accept whatever is normal. It's just that we seldom treat them normally.
Yeah. Absolutely. All of that is absolutely still true to me as well.
Well, good. And I'm eager to hear how it goes because, you know, recording and listening practice for kids, bringing all of this more into a not in indoctrinating, but just in making available is something that I'm really passionate about. So I'd like to hear more, and maybe we can talk more.
I would love that. I would love that.
Good.
Thank you
good.
So much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Laura. And before I move on, Sherry, I want to remind folks, because there are a number of people who have joined us since we started the show, that the way to join, to make a show, to join, to participate, is to press *6, and then when it will prompt you to press *1, I think it is, to be put in the queue. So that's how we know that you want to be called on.
All right.
And we'll take our next caller.
Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Paula.
Hey, Paula. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
And good.
Sherry?
What's going on?
Well, I just want to say this. It may just be my phone, but I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing Jen. I can hear you really well, but it's like
Jen.
Well,
you know, Paula, I started to say that at the beginning of the show, and then I thought, well, maybe not, because I know we'd gone through this in the past. And it seemed to be just me. So that's two of us. So she'll be over there working her magic now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, great. Well, I've just really been enjoying this, even just this first class. I'm amazed at how much I am seeing.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. So right off the bat, of course, was the conversation that has gone on probably for several months about not calling in. And I realized that, you know, one of the things, and this was familiar from the first caller, that if I conditioned mind will tell me that everyone else has needs that are more important than mine, and that really I can, you know, I'm doing well, I can take care of myself, and I should, you know, not, you know, I should let other people have the time.
Yeah.
So that's just such a familiar story, but for some reason I didn't recognize it until even today, I thought, I'm calling in tonight, and that came up.
Uh-huh.
And, and then the other kind of theme that is clearly, you know, conditioned mind is that don't call in because you'll make a fool of yourself. You know, you've done that before, you'll do it again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I must have missed that make a fool of yourself one, but that is a rather, would we say, compelling technique that the voices use on us?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, if I can kind of catch on to the first one, that that's not really true, that I have to, you know, let everybody else have their needs met because I'm okay, I can take care of myself. But this other one is, you know, a lot more, it's almost like scary. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, the last thing I want to do is really embarrass myself.
Yes. Well, a couple of things about that. On the first one, of course, what the voices don't let us realize is, okay, so it's great. I'm very happy that you can take care of yourself and all of that. But if we don't get to hear from you, then we lose out. Even if you didn't lose anything, we do, right? Because, you know, that is not an uncommon perspective. And so we could have a sangha, all of whom are, yeah, not, you know, I don't want to take up time, or I don't want to draw attention to myself, or I, you know, I'm fine. I don't, and it looks like we don't have any sangha, right? So we all need each other, and we need to hear what's going on. Now, the make a fool of yourself, of course, one of the things that can be really helpful with that is, first of all, well, if you could use me as a role model, okay, you want to seek it out, all right? You want to just make those voices cringe at the kinds of things that you say and do, because only ego gets embarrassed. Only ego feels like a fool, and you know what? Only ego is.
Yeah.
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 So one of the things, of course, you can do, you know, immediately after the show, as soon as the recording goes up, you listen in and prove to yourself that, well, I sounded perfectly fine, actually, which is always a good technique. And then just seek out those places where you can do all of the things that the voices say you can't do because you're going to be foolish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, what dropped in is that really kind of points to what I also saw in relationship with the body, and that's that if there's this creation of separation, as though this human form, is somehow separate from an identified self, that it's just something that I have to take care of, that's high maintenance, and that it's kind of a distraction to waking up and ending suffering. Now, I'm saying that this is the message is from conditioned mind, and I got to see that it's not so obvious that I have that, you know, I'm aware of that conversation, but I'm aware that the way I have taken care of the body has that implied message that,
yeah.
Oh, it would be so much better not to be in this body.
Right, yeah. And then when the time comes, when we get to have that opportunity, of course, in go the heels, right? Because not being in this body is actually not anything we want.
Right.
And it's really true. We are conditioned to believe that it's a nuisance. It's uncooperative. It's, as you say, it's high maintenance. If it would just shut up and do the right thing, I could get on with my life. And, of course, I'm hoping before long, there's not a one of us who's going to be confused about the fact that without that body, there is no life to get on with.
Yeah.
The belief, the conditioning is we could get along without the body. We actually could. Now, of course, when we stop and break it down, we realize that that's not true. But that's the implication. Right, but what we actually can get along without, beautifully, happily, is ego. The very thing that is on this constant about what's wrong with the body.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, what I also noticed is, like, the day that the email assignment came out, I read it just before I was getting ready to sit, and I checked in with my body. You know, I just came in and sat, and I was like, huh, body's doing really good, you know, feel strong, feel really good. I must be doing a good job. And then, you know, I kind of overdid it, I guess, or something. Anyway, I worked really hard in my garden, in my yards that day. And by the next morning, I was in a lot of pain. And so what kicked in, as I'm seeing it, and some clarity from you might be really helpful around this, but what kicked in was I was aware that I was in this almost continuous or ongoing, really frequent conversation that, oh, now I did something to hurt myself.
Yes.
And now I have a problem. And yep. Now I'm going to have to do something about it. And now, you know, I'm sad about it. And now I'm upset. And now I'm even in despair.
Yes.
And that was a really good, that was such a good experience, because it became clear that this conversation is conditioned mind, because it's the continuous I'm
yes.
this, I'm that, you know, I'm going to do this, I make uh-huh. that. And I was like, wow, I am so, you know, I'm so amazed at how often I is talking. You know,
yes.
I is the conversation.
Oh, I is the center of the universe. And in that sequence, it is very clear how it stays there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everything starts with I.
Yes, and so it really was helpful. I mean, I did pick up the recorder as soon as I began to have those feelings of being, you know, feeling bad. So I picked up the recorder, and I got this, you know, wonderful, kind, wise report or help from the mentor. And it is also just so, it's a surprise, but it's, I've used a digital recorder through many years, through college, to help me to learn things. And so using a recorder was kind of, I was quite familiar with that. But learning the skill of using a digital recorder as a tool for support and for tapping into kindness and to wisdom.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like it. The more I do it, clearly, the more it evolves.
Yeah.
And I just am amazed at how wonderful it is to use this little piece of technology with the skills that we have learned to use.
Yeah, it almost doesn't seem right. You know, conditioning could make a very compelling argument that it's wrong. It's just too simple and easy and happy and successful. Surely. Something like that, there must be something wrong with it. And happily, there isn't. It really is that simple, that easy, that kind, that wise, and that available.
Yeah, there's something almost, it's just almost magical to pick up, you know, to move this recorder from my right hand to my left hand. And
yes.
It's somehow that intention, and that I think the focus of attention.
Yeah.
To
and
really
it,
turn
you
that
are.
Attention. Yeah. And that's so it's magic.
Yeah. Yes, it is. All right. Well, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you're feeling the magic. And, yeah.
Yeah, it's thanks so much,
touch,
Mary.
Huh? Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Thank you. Take good care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye for now.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Paula. Sherry, is that better? Can you hear me better?
Yes. Yes. I hope it's better for Paula. Yes, you're much clearer for me.
Okay. Excellent. I just love the way, you know, she's just laying it all out, and she says, and then I picked up the recorder, and I heard this whole string of kind, really compassionate, wonderful things in just this most nonchalant way, because that's just so the experience every time you pick up the recorder.
Yes. Yeah.
It
is magical.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to take us on to our next caller.
Good.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on there, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Jen. This is Geffen.
Well, hello, Geffen. How are you?
Hello, Sherry. I'm well, thank you.
Great.
If you hear a bit of a British accent, I just came back from London.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, good.
Hello. So I'm noticing with the exercise, this first email class exercise, there is a part of me that's looking at it with, oh, check, check, check. I have all this down. I, the big capital I, healthy diet, healthy lifestyle, blah, blah. And then we were just asked to look at these five elements, and I think the last one was stress. And inside my self-talk was, well, what does that have to do with the body?
Oops.
Yeah. But then I realized, like, that's my poison. I mean, so much so that I've been having a difficult time catching it insofar as, like, how do I even record about this when I don't notice it?
Yeah.
I don't notice it until I am literally underwater and gasping for air, and then I'm mostly in a reactive response mode to what seems like external factors. So this is really befuddling me. And I was wondering what we might discover.
Yeah, so there you are. Stress? No, no, fine. And then you're screaming at somebody, and it sort of drops in that maybe I'm a little more stressed than I thought I was. Yeah, but you're not getting the signals soon enough.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you feel the stress?
Gosh, I don't know. I can say just from in the moment, I notice that I get very teary, very almost like overwhelmed by emotion. And then curious, wait, has my stress level gone above and beyond a manageable level where it's tipping off my hormonal system or my limbic system? I don't know. I'm really at a loss. Like, where do I feel it? I don't even understand the question.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And so do you ever use the recorder to do things like just listen to your voice soothing you?
Yeah, actually, I'm really surprised that when I describe the practice to others, that's the most compelling aspect of the practice that people respond to is that I tell them it's so soothing to hear my own voice when I turn to mentorship or to just hear a part of me that's struggling, and that it can really elicit a very, very easy path to compassion. So I believe my answer is yes, but I'm still dubious. Like, I sound fine right now as I'm speaking with you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some insidious little mechanism playing
that you haven't caught on to yet. Well, the thing that I would suggest about it is that if you up the soothing aspect of it, you know, you start listening all the time that you can to a soothing message, kind of a, you know, you do your own guided imagery and it's just taking you to being calm and relaxed and comfortable and at ease, and you're not feeling pressure, you're not feeling tension, you're just relaxed, enjoy, you know, that kind of thing in your most soothing way. If you increase that in your life, there's a very good chance that you will flush out what is in opposition to that. Because that system of stress has its existence in being able to keep you in a place where it gets your attention.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so when we withdraw attention from whatever, my ego is heavily invested in worrying because I can be, the human being can be controlled perfectly through a good bout of worry. So if I start getting comfortable and relaxed and easy, then it kicks in, well, what about, so a person who suffers with anxiety, you know, you're feeling pretty good, and then, well, what about, and it throws in a story that takes you back to the anxiety, and then your attention is focused on the anxiety, which is what's keeping that ego identity alive, right? So if it's able to do that, and I don't realize it's doing it, then it's got the perfect control system going on. So it can control me and my attention without me knowing that that's happening. But if I start a practice that requires me to attend to something else, in this case, relaxed instead of anxious, I can only do that attending to relaxed for so long before the anxiety system is running out of fuel and is going to need to do whatever it does to pull me back into relationship with it.
So does that mean that as I practice something like doing my own guided imagery and listening to my own voice for the purpose of self-soothing or deep, profound soothing, that the mechanism that is, let's call it the stress mechanism, will become more evident to me as it kicks in?
Yes.
Ugh, that sounds awful.
Yes. Well, except the good news is, you know, if you get burglarized every night, it may feel awful to think that burglar is coming in through the bathroom window, but it is information that you want to have.
Right.
Yeah.
It's difficult to remember this, Sherry.
Oh, we are so programmed not to. Yes.
Yeah. In the process of practicing, the stupid dust shows up sometimes in, like, forgetting to practice, but it also sometimes shows up in the dupe of, I'm fine. I'm great.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yes. Well, and you make two good points here. One, the first one is the best argument in the world for recording and listening, because if all else fails, you know, you can hang the recorder around your neck so that you start to get ready for the day, and there you see it in the mirror, and you go, oh, right, that, okay? The second one is what better time to practice than when I'm good? So if there's a practice that can take me from suffering to well-being, what might that practice be able to do when I start out in well-being? I'm going to throw around a word like bliss. It's kind of like saying, you know, why attend to my partner? We're getting along just fine. Or I don't need to pay attention to the kids. They look okay.
Right, or I don't need to exercise because I already did that.
Yeah, I did that once.
So we take it
and we just keep getting better and better and better and better.
Yeah. Just to speak to that for a moment, I also find, like, as I was reading all the responses to the email class, there were quite a number of responses that were about, you know, I'm good, I'm happy with my body, or it's powerful, or I'm aware of what my body can do. And I noticed that sometimes I'm okay with my body, and I realized that's been a long journey to stop looking at faults and flaws. And mm-hmm. then it could be within a matter of minutes or a day that this same person is no longer okay with the body or is totally yes. fixated on fixing.
Yes, exactly. So, which is our third argument for why we want to practice all the time.
All
because
the time.
That system is constant, you know, karma is constantly there. So if you know, if I have a history of binge eating, then I cannot be trusted to just go unconscious and not do that, because mm-hmm. those habits, those patterns, those pathways are really deeply ingrained. And for most of us, when it's a deeply ingrained pattern, which fixating on the body is, especially for women, then we need to stay consciously aware of not stepping into that pitfall every day.
Yeah, wow. Again, I said this a little while ago, but I'm so grateful that there is a home to come back to with regard to this sangha and this practice.
Yeah.
What a blessing to know I'm not alone in this, and there's somewhere safe to come back to.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Both of those points. The first one, that we are not alone, how hard egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate works to make us believe that we're the only one on the planet struggling with this, and then to have a group of kind, caring, compassionate people to be real with. It's special.
It is. Thank you so much, Sherry.
You're welcome. Good night, Geffen.
Okay, good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, Geffen. Boy, there are so many things in that conversation, Sherry, but I am just going to take us straight to the next caller.
All right.
I'm already practicing that restraint we talked about.
Restraint and religious observances.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jennifer in Washington State.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
What's going on with you?
I'm having a really excellent time with the email class so far.
Good.
And I thought I decided I would call in because I don't do that very much. And I just matter-of-factly set the whole thing up and did not listen to conditioning for a second and didn't think about what I was going to say and just said, it will be a surprise.
That's right. We love being in the moment. We'll see what happens as life unfolds.
Yes, that's a big practice area for me too. So anyway, this is perfect. But two things I really loved about that assignment, this the two-hand with the recorder thing just slays me that actually works.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. Totally crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just impossible.
And somebody in the class, I don't know who it was, and I can't even remember the details. I just remember responding to it today, but they described feeling the force of that or the power of it, you know, and I'm projecting my experience, but to there it goes from one hand to the other, and to feel the shift. I am no longer that. I am this, and whoa, what is this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in this assignment, the thing that was very interesting was that one was the person committed to practice, and the other one was the body. There was no room for conditioning.
No place.
It was kind of a shocker.
Conditioning. Yeah.
I think
when I've done this, I think I've done five batches so far, and I've been struck by how little reference there was in them to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Exactly.
And I think you just identified why. It wasn't invited and it didn't show up.
I know. I really enjoyed that. And it had me see something very key to me, and that is, of all my many years of however many years, I'm like 60, of all of my years of obsession with body and being beaten up for having an obsession with how things are not looking right or going well, thinking that I was, you know, or being told by conditioning that I was spending just way too much time on this and fell for society's conditioning and shouldn't be thinking about this. And really, it was never, ever a conversation with the body. It was always a conversation with conditioning about the body.
Wow. Isn't that astounding to see?
I was stunned.
Yeah. And I'll bet if people look at it from that perspective, that's really one where you're not alone with that. It's that the conditioning is so thorough that we don't even realize that all of this stuff about the body has nothing to do with the body. It's the body's not even there. It's not even
in the conversation.
Yeah.
So that exercise was great because I actually heard from the body.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, again, that I'm getting from the responses is people are surprised that, well, you know, the body's actually okay. And
right.
The body is not upset with me. You know, so again, me, practitioner, and the body, we're fine. It's this other annoying voice that's constantly interfering and keeping us from the relationship that we could be having.
Yes, and actually the only complaint the body had was that we were not having the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to spend more time with you.
Yeah, and I'd like you to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just
fabulous. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Oh, you're very, very, very welcome.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens next, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Thanks, Jennifer.
Bye.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. And Sherry, I'm going to move us right on to our next caller.
All right.
Let's see. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Uh-oh.
Looks like it has a little...
Hello?
Hello. There you are.
Hi. This is Pasha. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Hey, Sherry.
Sorry. Didn't get you.
It's a little lagging. I'm using an iPhone app to connect.
Okay. All right. Well, what's going on? What are you seeing?
So it was great to talk to the body, and I was... amazed how much it had to say. I made several recordings, but I think it's not all yet. There is more there. And
well, hopefully you guys will be talking for an awful lot of years.
Yes, but even like going through kind of initial assessment, it's like meeting meeting old friends who we haven't talked for a long time, or maybe ever. So it had a lot of interesting things, and conditioning would say, first of all, there was nothing to talk about, and then, it's going to be a lot of negative information. But actually, the body was saying thank you for taking care, and it's so good to connect with somebody who is committed to taking care of the body, and it just provides feedback. You know, it wasn't like positive or negative. You know, here's the things that works. Here's the things use more care.
Uh huh. Yeah. It's kind of it's like anything, right? Anything that we do. If we're attentive, and sensitive, then we'll get the feedback that we need in order to have things be successful, right? So we go out into the garden and we look at the things that are growing there and we get feedback. You know, this one needs, looks like it needs a little more water, this one a little less, this one needs more this, that, whatever.
Yep.
Body's the same way. Yeah.
Yes, yes. It was kind of encouraging to hear kind of appreciation or hear things work. And also have recording from somebody who is kind of on the side of the body and doing the practice or committed to practice, and also with this year upping the game, you know, changing their, the schedule and staying with the schedule, which helped to the body. And and it's just useful information. It's useful information for somebody who can take that information, and it's both ways. It was good to have the practitioner talking to the body, and not have a conditioning on both sides of the dialogue.
Which is a really good point, because historically that's what would have happened, right? Conditioning would have taken the recorder in one hand and spoken for the body, and then conditioning would have taken the recorder in the other hand and spoken for the practitioner. And all we would have had is conditioning talking to conditioning.
Yes.
And we've gotten the same old story we've always gotten. But this way, we hear from people who want to be in a solid, kind, compassionate relationship. And it is a relationship.
Yes, yes, and I've seen how it works. It's been a great year in taking care of this body already, and I'm just excited to go all in into this, or like with the full speed into focusing on the body, because it's just been when I help the body, I get helped, and it helps my practice. And when I get more sleep, you know, like all other areas in my life benefit from it, and other people benefit from having better posture, in a better mood. So it goes a long way. It's not just a bag of skin.
And it's not selfish to take care of it.
Yes.
It's not. It's a tremendous gift to everybody. And we talked about a little earlier in terms of family. So there you are taking care of yourself. You want your partner to take better care of herself, right? So that she feels good and she's more present and available and enjoying her life. And then you have this child, and you want him to grow up having a really good relationship with his body and taking good care of himself. And you know, it's a whole family activity, and then out from there.
Oh, yeah, I see so many examples, like, 3 years old sit down on the dinner table, I want a salad, like Papa does, you know. Well,
right.
Usually you don't tell a salad. No, I want a salad, and tomatoes in it, and, you know, and it's just like, I understand it's a game for him, but it's a game.
It's a good game.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good game to play.
Yes, and with my partner, what I see as, years before, trying to help her in terms of, like, giving good advice and suggestions, now it's like, that's what I do, and, you know, it kind of goes through, like, example more than, anything I would suggest. So I didn't make any suggestion at all. But I get the feedback that, you know, it's an inspiration, and I see she is making steps in the same direction.
So this is
great, great to see, and it's great to hear, and practice works, and I'm in such a good place, and I continue practice from the good place, and it's exciting, and it's lovely, and it's joyful, and it's fun.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. Yeah, I'm right there with you. That's the message I just so hope everybody gets. The more you do it, the better it gets.
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing. It mm-hmm. works.
You think surely it can't get any better. I mean, I'm in such a good place. Mm. I'm in a better place than I've been in all my life. Certainly this must be the pinnacle, right? And then it just gets better.
Yeah. Yes. And with now this week, it feels like I'm kind of connected more to my body, and I feel like doing these exercises of listening and just appreciating, and like I don't remember how it was formulated in my class. It's just amazing miracle machine, and it's alive, and it's so many things going on, and it's self-healing.
Awe-inspiring. Yeah.
Yes. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Pasha.
Deep gassho.
Gassho to you. Good night.
Good night, Pasha. Thanks for calling in. Gosh, it's just contagious, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So fun. I love that point about how, you know, we learned all this stuff, and our parents learned it, and their parents learned it, and how we wake up and realize, oh, my favorite food is ice cream, and it's like, actually, wait, it's not. These Brussels sprouts are delicious. You know, it's just something we learned in our heads, and we never tasted the food.
Yeah. And speaking of which, I'd love to do a whole thing with kids and parents on this, but, you know, again, there was a time when children ate what there was to eat.
I know. Oh.
It wasn't I'm only going to eat cheese hooties. No, you're
chicken
not.
Chicken nuggets. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
It goes back to the first call around.
Yeah.
But you have to do that. I mean, the children will starve. I mean, you have to feed them what they'll eat.
Yeah, I found that they can actually not hold out as long as we think they can. They will eat. And we can do the same thing with ourselves, right?
Oh,
if we don't buy all of that stuff that conditioning says it has to have, then son of a gun, other food just really starts tasting good to us.
Oh, it's absolutely that's true. Yeah. Okay, well, we definitely have time for at least one more caller, so I'm gonna
thank you, Jen.
Next person. Next caller, you're now live on there.
Hi, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Oh, can you
How
hear me
you
better
doing?
Now?
Yes.
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. What's going on?
Oh, there's so much. Let's see. Well, the last conversation about children and eating is so relevant to my life because I have two small kids, and I have one who refuses to eat vegetables or fruit unless I blend them up. So I find myself in that position of, you know, just falling for the demands that a four-year-old sets for me instead of, you know, there's been times where he's gone to bed without dinner, but so often, you know, I just want to get the fruits and veggies in him, so I'll do what I have to do to get it done.
And you know, Christina, it's really interesting because it's an exact parallel of what's going on with us, right? We are, for the most part, until we do a lot of practice, being controlled by an emotional, about the equivalent of maybe a 3 or 4 year old, right? Which is egocentric karmic conditioning, throwing its temper tantrums and demanding and wanting to be the center of the universe, and it has to be all about it all the time, and we've learned to go along with it, right? In fact, people are afraid not to. And so why wouldn't we approach our children the same way? Just make
sense. Yes. Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, it's definitely a place for me to look. And I love how you show me the parallel between that and how I deal with my egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Because it is sometimes I just say it's easier. You know, it's it feels easier to do this.
Yeah. Well, you know, Paula was saying, you know, it threatens me with, don't call in, you're going to make a fool of yourself. So it makes us afraid not to do what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to participate. I want to be involved, and because I have the same messages, obviously, that come at me. Yet, you know, half the time I'm too terrified to do it, or I'm too busy, or whatever it is, to keep me from participating. You know, or I don't belong, or, you know, the whole, everyone talks about it on the show, so I know I'm not the only one, but it can sure feel that way until you step in.
That's right, because we got those messages at a time when we were really vulnerable, and we didn't have encouragement or support for going back and checking it out. So, you know, if you hear the same message from the time you're really young, and nobody ever says, are you sure that that's true? Then it's not a surprise that we continue to believe it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Now, so thank God, we have the mentor.
Yes, yes. And I was going to talk about that a little bit. When I sat down to do the two-handed recording exercise, it was pretty easy for me to center myself and find the practitioner, the person who practices, and because I've been practicing that, practicing her.
Yeah.
she's around a lot more these days. But getting to the body was a lot harder for me because I think on the surface, it was just the same old stories that I've been listening to around the body for eons. And you know, at some point when I listened back to the recording, and I only did it today, so I'm a little bit behind. Well, you know, that's where I'm at right now. And so I don't...
That's right. You're not behind, are you?
I'm not behind. I caught myself.
Good catch. Good correction. This is where I am.
This is where I am, that I haven't listened to the recording more than once. But when I listened to the recording, I could hear what I suspect is egocentric karmic conditioning taking over the body a little bit, you know, kind of shifting the conversation away from where the body was to make sure it got in its, but you really need to be doing this, and you really need to be. And but it's difficult for me because there are places that I want to. I don't know if change is the right word, or, you know, to change course, move in this other direction. And so that message is not always so clear, the message of how to do it, at least where I'm at in my practice right now. And I feel like egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, just really is good at sliding itself in and you know, just kind of giving me what I want to hear, and then I find myself following its advice and then suffering over it, you know, because it's the same bad advice I've been given for a long, long time.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, now, again, of course, recording, it helps us to really nail down that bad advice, right? So we can get nice long lists of, nope, this isn't it, that's not it. When it says that, that's not what I want to listen to. And, again, I just wrote today one of the our favorite sayings from around here, which is, I love you exactly as you are, and I'll help you be any way you want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's the, to me, that's what we're going for. Because it's true. Mm-hmm. There are things. I don't want practice to turn into acceptance means, you know, well, whatever is current, this is where we're going to end up. Because that's not acceptance. That's really resignation or something unpleasant. So I want to support myself. I want to be able to do whatever it is that I want to do, and I want to do it with kindness and compassion and intelligence in a way that is going to help me be successful.
Right. And I saw something else, Sherry, in that recording. And, you know, for some time now, I think about 6 months, I was waking up every morning, meditating, recording and listening, and exercising. And slowly, as time went on, I started doing different things at different times, and, you know, I wouldn't do some, would do some of the others, and it was getting more and more frequent that I was falling back into old habits. Mm-hmm. And what I saw today in that recording was how I kind of disconnected those three things. Like, exercise was something separate from practice, and meditation was something separate from recording and listening. And it just kind of dropped in how those three things really are the same thing, that they're, it's that cycle that those three things together for me personally in my experience that was so powerful, and the way they worked together, because like you said in the email or whoever wrote the class description, you know, the body's the vehicle for awakening. And that felt so real to me. I mean, I could really experience that when it's part of my daily routine. And by breaking it apart and not seeing that whole connection, it was so easy to start putting things aside and not.
Yes.
Not
and isn't that important to see?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So you had to go in the other direction to see it, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Now you know. And so for me, I'm, you know, I had very much the same thing going for years, and even though I knew. Get up and do all of the things, all of the practices that I want to make sure get in during this day, do them first thing. If I have time later in the day, I can do them again. But if I don't do them first thing in the morning, the chances of them not happening just go up and up and up with every hour.
Yes.
And realizing that, that's what I want to do. It's not a should. Mm-hmm. It's not a, you know, if I were the right spiritual person, this is how I would approach it. That's what I want to do. Now, sometimes mm-hmm. I can't. Right, because I'm getting on a plane first thing in the morning, or I'm, whatever it is, and so with great regret, I, you know, I mark that day as a day that I'm not going to get to do that routine that I love so much, that supports me so much, but tomorrow I will,
mm-hmm.
and that's a comfort, you know. I take comfort from that. So there's no feeling bad that I'm not able to do it today. There's just looking forward to it that much more when I do get to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I experienced that too throughout the process that I've engaged in so far around it, of coming to that place where I recognize that this is what I love to do. It's not, you know, this is my, and I would get up and if I could hear the voices telling me whatever about staying in bed, or I'd say, oh, wait, I get to go record and listen. Great. Okay. I can't wait to get up and do that.
Yes. Yes. It's my time with me. It's my time with what animates me. It's the deepest connection I have. I don't want to miss that. Sleep in? Okay. On a day when I know I can do it when I wake up.
Right.
But not if I'm trading my practices for sleeping in, not on your life. Yeah.
Right.
And it takes us a while, in my experience anyway, in practice to get that, to take practice out of the hands of karmic conditioning and it's mm-hmm. you should and you have to, and if you don't, you're a bad person, and move it where it belongs, into the heart, where it's what I love, it's what I want to do, it's who I am. Yeah.
Mhm. Yep. Because I could see too how I would let certain people manage how I got up. How do I say that? It was easy to look to egocentric karmic conditioning and the slave driver in there saying, "Get up, do it. You've got to.
Yeah.
You know, this is just what you do." Which is it's okay if it's coming from a compassionate place, like we just show up, you know? but it doesn't always come from that place. You know, they can use the same words, but it feels different.
Right. And if once in a while you have to get up and hit it, then you can cheerfully get up and hit it.
What do you mean?
But there are some days, you know, you've got to, whatever it is, you know, there's something you have to take care of, and you're willing for that. You're fine with that. But when it becomes more often than not, you know, for me, if it's 2 days in a row when I have something like that, then that's too many days in a row. Because
mm-hmm.
this is what my life is about. This is what it's about. It's not about getting something done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All thank
right.
you very
well,
much.
Thank you. Great talking with you. And
likewise.
Yeah. Be online.
Okay. Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Christina. We're off to a good start with a trillion excellent reminders in that show.
Yeah. Are you keeping track for us again?
I confess I'm not, but I'm definitely, I listen to all the archives, so I will.
You will.
I'll take notes, because that was
all right.
That was excellent.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Sherry, and thank you for, I hope your fingers are training up, because I know you're back in. what do we call it? I don't know. There must be some good sports term for that.
Yeah, well, little finger calisthenics, you know. It's good. My fingers are extremely strong and healthy.
Excellent.
So that's good.
Very good.
All right.
We'll talk
thanks, Jen.
Next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks, Sherry. Good night.